This weekend, people in upstate New York are going to mark the 25th anniversary of the presidential order to evacuate a toxic neighborhood in the Niagara Falls area. Here to talk about Love Canal is Ira Flatow. He's the host of NPR's Science Friday. He joins us from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut. Hi, Ira, and remind us, what was the problem at Love Canal?
Well, Love Canal was anything but Love Canal. It was started by a gentleman named William Love at the turn of the century who had high hopes for this little place in Niagara Falls. He was going to make a dream community. He dug this hole in the ground, actually trying to build a canal to build a hydroelectric project there. It never got started. It never finished, but the hole remained, and it was taken over by Hooker Chemical. Now, Hooker Chemical Company used it as a dump, a waste site, for eventually tens of thousands of tons of chemical waste and barrels and whatever that were put in the ground there and covered over. And 25 years later, all this stuff, all this toxic waste began leaking out of the barrels and oozing into the basements and backyards of people who lived right next to the old site.
I remember that. I remember what a horrific story that seemed like, that these things would actually be seeping into people's homes. Remind us also, what was the impact of that story? How did that change American thinking about the environment?
Yeah, well, up until then, people thought about the environment as rivers catching on fire, air pollution, smog, smoke, things like that. But now, we now had a whole generation of people who were going to grow up with the Love Canal becoming part of their vocabulary. In fact, Lois Gibbs, who was a 27-year-old housewife whose children were getting sick, and she basically started a one-woman campaign to see what she could do about cleaning up Love Canal. And in the subsequent years after the Love Canal incident happened, she became like a lightning rod for the whole toxic waste movement. And she went around the country, and other people came to her saying, how do we get rid of these dumps in our neighborhoods? And so the whole landscape of how to clean up waste sites changed forever.
I do recall people had to leave the area. Have they gone back? Is anyone still living there?
Oh, yeah, there are some people still living there. There are some people who never left. The difficulty with stories like this and incidents like this is actually drawing a line, you know, connecting the dots between the chemicals and any sicknesses. And there were a lot of sicknesses in the area. But can you connect those dots between the chemicals causing those sicknesses? That has never been concretely, you know, connected, those dots.
I think one response to this that really comes out of Love Canal is the creation of these federal Superfund sites. The idea that we'll put together a lot of money to spend on cleaning up places that really, really need it. How has the Superfund idea worked out?
Well, there were 1,500 Superfund sites when they were when they first were created. The idea was that slowly we'd be able to clean up all these sites. There was some momentum in the 80s. The momentum has slowed down to now. What critics will say to you, though, you know, even though half of them have been cleaned up, we still have hundreds to go. And the Bush administration, according to the critics, is dragging its feet on cleaning these up, maybe cleaning up a few dozen a year when there are still hundreds and hundreds left to be cleaned up. So it depends on who you ask. Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? But sure enough, the Superfund sites have been another point of contention over the years.
It's always about connecting those dots, isn't it, Ira?
Well, that's the thing about science and health. We want to have people like black and white issues. They like to see that there's black and white issues. They want what we used to call the one-handed scientist. Well, scientists have two hands a lot of times. They'll say, on the one hand, the information shows this, but on the other hand, we have, you know, other information that doesn't make it quite as concrete or black and white as you would like to. And it's hard to live in an age where, you know, we have incomplete knowledge. But that's the age we live in, and that's how we have to make judgments.
Ira Flatow, host of NPR's Science Friday, comes to us via member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut. Thanks, Ira.
You're welcome.